Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
I wonder if anyone just listened to this podcast and was like, who is this idiot girl just like discovering obvious things? Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of feel like that's the energy I've been giving.
And Liz.
How do 24-year-old boys have a presence on social media without being so unbelievably cringy? I don't know if it's possible.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly
and Liz.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. How's your week going?
My week is going kind of a loaded question. Here's the thing. I'm having still horrible joint pain.
Yeah.
And I'm on it. It's like I'm on it. Like I'm happy to take the Rex, but like you don't have to ask me if I have a heart condition. Like I'm on it with my doctor. Like we're checking all the things. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you're pregnant, you know?
It's like, yeah, that's a symptom.
I know.
That's a symptom of pregnancy. It's like, okay, well.
And
it's like my left arm is falling off. Is that okay? And they're like, that just sometimes happens.
No, it is a little crazy that we can't sometimes, I feel like, do more for maternal health. And I do think like that's why like you have to go to your OBGYN for a lot of stuff, because any other doctor's like, well, you need to pick it up with them. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. Like they won't touch a pregnant woman with a 10-foot pole, which I understand, which I get it. But anyway.
No, it is. And I don't know if everyone else has a similar experience. I feel like with Kelly and I go to the same OB. I feel like anytime we bring up anything, she's just like, so just like, well, yeah. That's like she's so chill that it's like, can you like give me a little something? But it's like it's almost nice that she's just like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And no. So it's like, okay, so I guess you just see this literally all the time, which I think that they all do. And although everyone has a different pregnancy, they're all also similar and have similar things going on. So,
well, you know, like you check the vitals, you do the blood work, and when things come back normal and regular, it's just kind of like, you know, symptom management. And here's the interesting thing about my joint pain, because I had convinced myself I had rheumatoid arthritis. Like quite honestly, I haven't totally written it off, because it does sometimes present itself in pregnant women, and then like you have it the rest of your life. It's fine. And my doctor said that there's no point of even testing for it because it can throw a false positive when you're pregnant. So, okay. But here's why I don't think I have it. The fun thing about my joint pain is it keeps jumping joints.
Yeah.
So like yesterday, it was my left ankle. Today, my left ankle's feeling better. Don't even ask me about my right hip. Like tomorrow, my right hip will be fine and my right ankle will be on fire. Like it is just, and it was my elbow was hurting me. It's every joint. It's jumping around, and then the joint feels fine, and then it feels, I'm just so like stiff down there. It truly just feels like I did like the most intense workouts. So I'm doing like a lot of natural remedies, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun to be on like a natural remedy journey.
Okay.
You know, just like giving me something like interesting to talk about, you know.
Yeah, and you're like my magnesium lotion.
So here's what I'm doing. And I'm happy to take Rex. Like, I like talking about it because, one, I like hearing that, like, oh, yeah, that happened to me. It went away after delivery. And I also, like, some people have sent me some very helpful things.
Okay.
I'm doing this arthritis cream that's, like, kind of, like, numbs it a little bit, but, like, in a pregnancy-safe kind of way. Love. Magnesium gel. Turmeric, iron, magnesium, prenatal supplements, compression socks, hot and cold therapy, movement. Like intentional movement, because moving definitely helps the joints feel a little bit looser. Mm-hmm. But if like I'm on my feet all day, then I'm done for. And I'm eating like non-inflammatory foods, like cinnamon is apparently like really non-inflammatory. So I've been putting it like on some Greek yogurt for like a little, eating a lot of protein. Like I'm honestly taking really good care of myself.
That's great.
It's kind of been, this sounds crazy. And let me be clear, I'd rather not have the joint pain. But it kind of is making me rest and just take care of myself.
Yeah, no,
and drink
for sure.
A ton of water, like filling up my Stanley 7 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, when you feel good, you don't feel like you need to do anything. And so when you're desperate and feeling so bad, and also when you're pregnant, obviously you want to, you know, try and take better care of yourself because there's another person involved. But it kind of like forces you to actually go the natural remedy route, because this is not something I ever would have thought you would be like. I never thought you would say, yeah, I'm taking turmeric. like that's not a dig at you. That's just like, I never would have imagined you saying those words.
And it's crazy because all my other pregnancies were they were different levels of hard, like, and they got harder every consecutive pregnancy, but it was the same symptoms. It goes like nauseous start 13 weeks, heartburn starts at 28 weeks, you know, Braxton Hicks start at 32. It's like, it was the same.
Yeah.
And this one's like, what about joint pain? Like, what about it?
Well, I'm feeling really good.
No, I'm happy for you. I don't wish this on anybody.
I'm feeling really good. I had nausea for like a couple of weeks and, you know, I'm tired, but like, it is what it is. And other than that, I'm just like, I don't really feel that pregnant.
Here's what it's been for me. And that's why you have to see the silver lining and everything. And this is going to go right into today's Fastlane philosophy.
Okay.
Two parts of silver lining. One, I'm humbled.
Yep.
Blessed. And God says, blessed be the humbled. Because I pulled up a picture of me at 37 weeks pregnant at a wedding in heels with Fred. Yeah. With skinny little ankles.
Yeah.
And I said, humbled. I'm feeling humbled.
Yeah.
And because I'm feeling humbled, I'm taking rest. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think, if you know me at all, I have like a go, go, go tendency,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like to just do a lot and I like to stay busy. I'm happier when I'm busy. I like to do a lot, but then I get burnt out sometimes. So I want to read this. My manager, Austin, actually sent it to me. She was reading a devotional and she goes, to rest is to prepare yourself to be used by God.
Wow.
And I loved that. And I don't want to get into the details because I don't think it's nice, but Elizabeth and I just said no to like a kind of a cool opportunity
mm-hmm.
for the simple reason of I didn't think I was going to have it in me.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say no. When life gives you an opportunity that could be cool, sometimes just say no.
Well, sometimes it's about more than just the opportunity.
No, for
sure.
It's
about the cost of the opportunity. And the cost would have been a lot of stress, an extra day of travel, which you know how I feel about that.
And we could have said do it for the plot, but you know what? We're not 20 years old. So.
We're not in our plot era.
No, we're not in our plot era.
And I'm still dealing with the last plot twist, which is the joint pain. So anyway, yeah. I'm going to move on from that. But that's what I'm up to. And that's what I'm dealing with. And I'm resting and I'm taking turmeric. And I just think people should know that about me right now.
Well, I found out the gender of my baby. But I'm not going to share it right now.
Oh, come on.
No, I want to do an announcement. I don't know what the announcement's going to be yet.
Well, you have until Thursday to come up with it.
No, I can't because Maddie's gone. No, I'm not saying it today. But I just wanted to let everyone know that I know.
I think everyone's going to go rate this podcast a 1-star because you just did that. I'm not even kidding. That's the most annoying thing I've ever heard.
Okay, well, there's this thing that I think I can have sometime, and that's called privacy.
Well, then okay. just don't bring it up.
Well, I just want everyone to know that I know something you don't know.
We're so annoying. We said no to a huge opportunity. We can't tell you what. Elizabeth knows the gender of her baby. We can't tell you it.
What can we tell you?
What other secrets do we have?
Other than that, we're pretty much an open book. So.
Well, why don't we get into today's episode?
Okay. So we got the millennial word. You did your Fastlane philos.
Mm-hmm. I've got a base model luxury. I've got a little dumpity doo-doo. Industry news, we have a special guest.
Mm-hmm.
And the special guest is also bringing Ditch to the drive-thru.
Perfect.
Should I announce the special guest? Or should
yeah,
we
that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. So our special guest is this woman named Scotty Reese, who is kind of giving trailblazer.
Mm.
Scotty Reese runs the website A Girl's Guide to Cars. She's and Scotty, I'm saying this like with the utmost respect. She's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she is going to be doing tours at the New York Auto Show also. We've kind of been I think we talked about it on the last episode. So we're going to catch up. We're going to hear what she's looking forward to seeing at New York. She's going to tell us a little about our tours. And we're just going to bring you the hot tea going on in the auto industry. Because Scotty might have some. I mean,
Scotty usually has some tea.
I mean, the woman's connected.
Oh, yeah. She's super connected. She like Kelly said, like she's been in the industry for a long time and she's been like really, really like been one of the first like women to like really get into it and has really like set a trail for like women in auto, in, at least in like the journalistic auto space. So, yeah, she's got a lot to say, I'm sure.
Sure.
Okay. So now it's time for the millennial word of the day where we learn Gen Z slang so we can be less lame. And today's word is acting your wage.
Oh, acting your wage. I love this one. Mm-hmm. It's like when you are acting within your social class? Like, you're not trying?
No, it's like acting your wage. It's like, if you're working, this is how I understand it. If you're working your job and you're getting paid to do X, Y, and Z, and then your boss says, hey, can you also do this? And you're like, no, I got to stay within what I'm paid to do.
Oh, it's giving boundaries.
What
do you think about that?
When your effort is as big as your paycheck.
How are you ever going to get a bigger paycheck, though, without more effort?
Well, and you know what? Maybe that's a problem with the Gen Zs, is because they're just like, I refuse to do more.
Well, I think the millennials also have that problem. But it's also, it is such a balance, because there's like being a team player and wanting to go above and beyond, and like wanting to be in it for the long and hopefully get a promotion. And then at the end of the day, it's also, you are replaceable. Move on with your life.
And like, don't get taken advantage of.
Don't get taken advantage of.
And like, have professional boundaries. Yeah. Well, I think it's like, you're replaceable, but like, also you can go find a new job. I just think like, the employer maybe doesn't hold the power that they once did.
In this economy?
I don't know. That's how I kind of see it. It's like, where else would acting your wage come from? Like, why is that even a thing? Because people are being told that they need to do more work than what they're being paid to do, and they're not wanting to.
I think my
be taken advantage of.
I think, like, to me, it would be, if you get asked to do something outside of your wage, it would be just like the first time, like, willing to do it. I think you do it the first time, and I think you go above and beyond. I think you kill it, and I think you hold that as leverage.
Yeah,
I think leverage is important. I think leverage is balances out power. And then if you're asked again, be like, thank you for asking me again. It's obviously because I killed it the first time. I'm sure that's why you're bringing this up to me again. Would be happy to do it. Would like to explore what, you know, if I'm going to continue this role, like what maybe increased compensation or things like that would look like.
Yeah.
The thing is, I, especially women, I think they're like, because I mean, as a woman, we're so scared to like talk about money and raises. And I think like, you have to shoot your shot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was never my strong suit.
Yeah.
In my professional working job.
Well, I think we're just such people pleasers. But you can be all of that and still, I just don't think the ask. I mean, it's hard, though, because it's hard.
I don't have any advice on that front at all.
Yeah.
I could use some.
No, you will not be getting a raise if that's what you're
asking. No, I mean, like, I'm not the person to give it.
I understand.
Also, I would never ask.
But I would, like, I feel like even the people who work for us, if I do feel like I ask them to do, well, a lot of our people who work for us are contractors, so they like have a set list of responsibilities. But the thing is, and this is just how I work because this is the business I grew up in, I'm so like commission performance based pay. Like I mean obviously the contractors, like they have their rate of what they do it for, but then like I have a lot of them on bonuses. Like they get a percentage if we do this and if we do that.
Yeah.
And like, I just love to live like that. I just think goals are fun. I think like chasing something is fun. I think it keeps everybody motivated. I feel like we're all working. I think it helps everyone work together.
Yeah. I'd like to reach a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So anyway, should we go into my dump?
Yeah. What do you have?
Okay. I've got kind of a lot. Like, oh, let me do my, since we did base fast lane philosophies, now I want to do base model luxury. Okay. This is so, I wonder if anyone just listened to this podcast and was like, who is this idiot girl just like discovering obvious things? Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of feel like that's the energy I've been giving, especially with like the canned fruit story.
I mean,
I'm just an idiot.
Yeah. We're out of touch.
So I was at the park with Ashley the other day. And what I love about Ashley is Ashley and I always like, not even intentionally, trade off who has their crap together.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like some days I'm doing the most, she shows up a hot mess. Some days, whatever. It was my turn to be the hot mess. Like I had was stressed about the move, stressed about the joint pain. I had called her crying. She's like, let's just take the kids to the park. And I showed up and she had like brought popcorn and fruit for the kids for snacks, like, which is just incredibly kind. Like, love it. But it was what was on the fruit tray, which has just been so inspiring to me. Are you on the edge of your seat?
You spit it out, Kelly.
She had oranges peeled. So like cuties, but they were oranges.
Okay.
they were delicious. And I'm like, why haven't I been buying and peeling oranges? They are, here's the thing. So then I bought oranges and I've been peeling them and enjoying them as a snack. Here's what's so good about oranges. They take probably, honestly, two and a half times as long to peel than a cutie. And they are five times better.
Yeah, oranges are great.
But I don't think I've ever had an orange. I've had slices. Well, I don't like the slices. I like the slices rind.
Because I like to have a handle. It's like eating a pizza.
No, I don't like the rind. I loved that this was just you could plop the whole thing in your mouth. They were so good. And apparently it's orange season. So go.
I was going to say oranges are in season, I think that's why they're so good.
Put the cuties back. And they're so much more substantial. Like, it's so much more food than a cutie. And cuties, you know them. They're so hit or miss. You got a soft piece. You got a...
Well, I think that... I could be wrong. But I feel like oranges and cuties are in at different seasons. Because I was making a fruit salad for this party the other day. And I was looking for cuties because I like to put cuties in, like, my winter salad. And, like, I couldn't find cuties anywhere. But I've been buying a lot of oranges lately because oranges are really good right now. So I have a hunch that oranges and cuties don't have the same season.
Well, whether they do or whether they don't, I'm just saying, go get some oranges and then peel them. And she probably peeled three oranges and it just a peeled orange. It just felt so luxe.
Okay. I like it.
I'm obsessed. And then I decided something I'm going to do in my new house. And I have this container because we've been like really going through things and cleaning things out because, you know, the move. And I found these containers. Like, you know, if you were to take a veggie tray like to a barbecue, they like sell plastic containers that like have places for the veggies, yeah, like with a lid on them. Okay, so I have two of those just like randomly in my basement.
Okay.
And I think when I get my life back together, I'm going to do a veggie one and a fruit one and just prep it in the beginning of the week, every week. And then just pull it out for snacks and mealtimes or like before mealtimes.
Yeah.
Or like after school snacks.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I just love the idea. And then it's like, oh, I mean, actually at the park, let me grab my half eaten veggie tray. Because what do we care? Like, we're still getting the cut veggies in.
Yeah, I mean, I need to look into the best way to prep and store like veggies and fruits, because my fear with that is that they would go bad.
I don't think so.
Okay, well.
But I can keep people updated.
Okay.
Anyway, that was my base model luxury. Do you have anything? What's something like little you've been enjoying?
Well, I made my sourdough cinnamon rolls for St. Patrick's Day and they turned out amazing. They took me literally 24 hours to make, but they were so good.
I can't believe you didn't save me even like a
sliver. There was none to save, Kelly.
How good does that make you feel?
Everyone was crushing them. Everyone loved
them. Did you get a ton of compliments?
Yes, everyone loved them. And...
What a fun hobby that you have now.
Yeah. And the next thing I'm going to make, because for St. Patrick's Day, I made my sourdough cinnamon rolls and I made like a small fruit salad with like strawberries, blueberries and red grapes. I have so much fruit salad left because everyone obviously wanted my cinnamon rolls. The fruit salad no one was interested in. So with all this leftover fruit, I'm going to try to make fruit leather.
Oh my gosh. This is giving cooking without purpose. I'm so invested.
So here's how I understand you make fruit leather. You take like ripe fruit. So like I'm just dumping this whole bowl of fruit salad in a blender.
Oh, you're not doing it by flavor. You're doing like a very berry flavor.
Yeah, I'm just going to combine them.
Should you pull out the grapes?
No, I'm just going to combine them. And then I'm going to add maple syrup and blend it up until it's like very liquidy.
I saw this reel. Did you see it on a reel?
Yes, but then I've like done further research on it. You can also like, you can add honey, you can add maple syrup, you can add like chia seeds. Like there's different things you can do from what I understand. Some people then simmer it on the stove for a little bit, and then you pour it onto a cookie tray, put it in the oven at 160 or 70, like as low as your oven will go. And I think you're supposed to cook it for like 6 hours in your oven. On low.
Elizabeth.
But then you have like a fruit by the foot. Fruit roll up. Fruit leather.
I'm invested.
So that's my next thing I want to try. And I need to try because I have all this leftover. Like I bought so much fruit and I have so much leftover.
I hope it turns out.
And I don't think fruit lasts that long in a tray. So like, it's not going to last all week. Well, so I gotta not do it all
mixed
day.
Together like that.
Yeah.
If you had like strawberries in one section, you put a paper towel on it. It lasts longer than
anything.
Okay. Liz, I've got some years under my belt about keeping berries and fruit ripe. Trust me there. Well, best of luck on the fruit leather.
Thanks.
Where are we at with the backsplash?
So he's, well, so then I emailed, he emailed me back and he said, does this day work? And I said, yes, does this time work? And I don't believe he has confirmed that the time will work, but the time is this week. I need to check my email, but things are happening. We're moving forward.
Wow.
Yeah. He's coming to measure.
Okay. Just a quick little thing on, last thing on my dump, and then we can kind of move on with our life. Okay, so we've kind of gone back-to-back viral recently. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Like, two of my last reels have hit over 1 million views, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
One was our announcement to mom and dad that we're both pregnant.
Super cute.
And then it was our potty reel, which, if you haven't seen it, it's worth taking a look. Because we went back and forth on posting it. Some people told us not to post it because they thought it was gross. Some people said this is an amazing hack. And it turns out the hack was it turns out they were right.
It was an amazing hack.
It was an amazing hack. We've gotten really good feedback, great comments. I can tell you I've sold a ton of potties off Amazon. So we're all happy there.
Yeah.
But I just have like really seen a lot of consumerism in the comments. And I just want to call it. I think it's important to call out consumerism when you see it.
Okay.
Because I shared in the hack that you buy this potty and then you use plastic bags in a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been so many comments. People saying like, they sell bags for this. Or like, don't waste a diaper. They sell the bags on Amazon. It's like, you
what
guys.
Do you mean the bags? Like, they're padded bags?
Yeah, like they're specific potty bags. And it's like, okay. You guys, that's consumerism. Like, it's standing them right in the face. They don't even know. Like, you think I'm going to pay to order? And also, okay, pollution check. You can't just be ordering things to your house all the time when you have stuff. You think I'm going
to... It's like another thing to keep somewhere.
It's another thing to keep somewhere where when I have plastic bags. And you're telling me... You don't have some diapers your kids have outgrown?
Yeah.
And also, here's the thing with the diapers. Like, I keep those diapers in my car. So if Fred needs a diaper, check. If Hattie has to pee, check. It's called a 2-for-1.
No, the diaper, the purpose of the diaper is for your child to urinate in.
The purpose the diaper is being used to its full potential.
The diaper is being used to its full capacity in the potty realm.
I just thought it was so...
Not wasting a diaper. It's not like you threw it out the window. It's like...
Literally.
Still.
And I think like the point of the hack was it's like, use what you have. And if you don't have the potty, grab a bucket. Like I wasn't trying to... I'm trying to fight consumers. People out there being like, thinking I'm crazy for not buying the bag that does the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and we all have so many grocery bags.
We all have so many grocery bags. I guess unless you live in a state where I think they're banned in some states.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't be Missouri.
No. Swimming in them.
And then, like, use a diaper or grab some paper towels. I mean, don't buy specific bags for your kids to pee in. And that's where I just think we need to open our eyes.
Also, you know what Amazon always does? Sells you way too many. So you're going to get a pack of, what, 100?
Let me look
or
up.
Or what, like whatever the... I would love to know how many it comes with.
Because, and let's see how much they are.
The potty hack is not to be used on a daily basis. Like you use this in case of emergencies.
No.
And so if Amazon's selling you them in a pack of 50 even, that's too many to have.
This is disgusting.
What?
60 potty bags for $20. Don't waste a diaper. What do you mean? A diaper's 20 cents.
Yeah.
These ones don't even look like they're padded. And see, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Oh, no. You have to have the padded.
Okay, let's see what the padded one is. Yeah, they're like, it gets even worse because this is 30 for 14. That's even a worse deal.
Anyway, don't
it's
need
just,
it.
Don't let them reinvent the wheel right in front of your face. You have what you need. If you have to get the potty, you have to get the potty. Use the diaper.
Yeah.
Or like save the diapers that don't fit your kids anymore and put them in there.
Yeah. Because we all have those.
We all have those.
You know?
Anyway. That's what I have. Which I felt like I had a lot to get off my chest. So I'm feeling better.
Okay. Well, good.
And today's episode is brought to you by Caraway. You guys, have you heard of Caraway? It is this aesthetically pleasing amazing cookware that has some pretty insane technology built in. Not only is it completely non-toxic, but it also has a ceramic natural slick surface. That means minimal oil or butter is needed and things literally slide off the pan. Elizabeth, can you not clean your caraway pan in like 5 seconds?
So easy.
I have never seen anything like it. I'm convinced there's nothing. It's like next level technology. And don't just take our word for it. It is well loved. Over 65,000 people have rated 5 stars about their Caraway kitchen. And now it's time for you to try it yourself. You can visit carawayhome.com/carpool to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/carpool or use code carpool at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern. So before we get to industry news, I just feel like we have to address the two things that everyone on the internet is talking about right now.
Okay.
The Montana Boys.
Yeah.
And where's Kate Middleton?
Two things that I have done little to no research on, and you're asking for my opinion. And yet I'm happy to give it.
Have come across your desk.
No, for sure. I mean, where is Kate Middleton? I don't know. The evidence is not good. That photo that they put out is horrendous. With all of the Photoshop and whatnot.
And just release the photo. Release the non-edited photo. And they can't because it's not real.
Their excuse of like, she's like, oh, I was just doing some amateur Photoshopping. It's like, that's not a thing.
And also like
we... And also, you didn't... The things that were wrong in the photo were not things that warranted Photoshopping.
Totally. We've all whitened our teeth on Facetune.
We've all whitened our teeth. We've this all maybe like...
Different. You know,
no, it's like her kid like fingers aren't natural. Like it's giving AI.
Well, anyway, and then it's just like we've seen this movie before. You know what I mean? I'm just worried. But apparently now there was this video that went out yesterday and it was like a video of her at a farmer's market. Have you seen this video?
No.
It was everyone saying like it doesn't look like her. Kate Middleton seen in new video enjoying the Windsor Farmer Shop with William. Let me see
it. Click on it.
Well, I'm nervous that an ad's going to play, but I will. Like, they're saying, like, that's not her.
Give me your computer. I can't see it.
But also, I think that's a little mean because I actually do think that's her.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that looks like her.
And I think, yeah, she, like, I do think she had abdominal surgery.
She looks really skinny.
She looks really skinny. I don't think she looks very good.
No, she looks unhealthy. But it
is just the like the juxtaposition of like this is the woman who set such unrealistic expectations by showing up 7 hours after giving birth in heels.
Yeah.
And now then to go away after. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've read all the theories like she could have Crohn's disease and she could have like a what's like a bag called that when you like I don't remember the right term for it.
Yeah. No, she looks very frail.
Yeah.
And maybe they were like, just go out and do this stroll and come back.
Yeah, she looks very skinny. So maybe she just doesn't. So I'm honestly kind of like give them grace period. So I'm kind of over that theory.
Okay.
I do think the whole Photoshopping was weird. And I think that they can't be trusted. And now like a lot of other dirt has come up. But like apparently William's been having affairs with this woman named Rose Hanbury. Who doesn't hold a flame to Kate. So I don't know like what I cannot. I just don't understand.
I'm not a royal family person. No, like, at all. Like, I don't know anything about them. Like, I don't get the hype. Like, whatever. I feel like there's just been like a lot of sketchiness lately. And it's like, maybe it's time we like don't.
First of all, hot takes would never fly in America. This just wouldn't.
What wouldn't fly?
Like, if the presidents like had affairs that we all knew about the public. I mean, isn't that why Bill Clinton got like impeached?
Like okay, maybe maybe at like a different time.
I wasn't paying attention to that time, and I haven't done much. But like, isn't that? I'm just saying. I just don't think we would stand for it.
I just don't think we need to be idolizing this family that is only not even in power, but is only. I just don't think we need to be idolizing this family. Like it sounds like they've done a lot of sketchy things.
Totally. Okay.
And they're very secretive.
And let's pivot to the Montana boys because this is cute coming across my desk. It's these, first of all, here's the sad part. It's these cute little like college boys who are darling.
No, I think they're out of college. We looked it up today. They're in their mid 20s.
Okay. It's these cute.
You said 24.
You're right. That's not college. You're right. That's not college. Okay, well, they're giving college, though. You know what I mean? Young. Like, they're these, like, young mid-20s boys who are, I'm sorry, darling. And then they're making these horrendous videos of themselves, like, so, like, self-involved, like, staring at the camera, like, singing lyrics like this. And if yeah, you're, and like,
they're
okay,
like, they're, like, rubbing their hands together and, like, licking their lips. And they're, like, you know, trying to throw out this, like, swag. And they're, like, lip-syncing to a country song. And it's so unbelievably cringy. It makes me want to crawl in a hole.
And it's just like they had so much potential. Like, again, I'm gonna say, like, they're cute boys, like, just have potential. Like,
how do boys have a, how do 24 year old boys have a presence on social media without being so unbelievably cringy? I don't know if it's possible.
Well, I don't know if they need to, though. Like, what do we, anyway,
social media is for girls only.
Anyway, that was their corner of the internet. Obviously, like, I did never expect, like, our corners to cross, to be honest with you, until one of them starts dating Kristen Cavallari. And that's all. And he's 24, she's 37, and I'm not, like, one to heart. It's not, has nothing to do with the age gap for me, although I'm sorry, I think it has, I think that age gap's a little much for me. It's that he's so cringy.
No, it's so cringy.
And, like, also those people, like, anyone who's gonna have the audacity to look at my darling husband in his yellow hoodie and say a thing about him when that's floating around the internet. Anyone who dares call my sweet little husband cringy,
I don't think anyone's done that.
No, not on our corner of the internet, but I could see how other corners would. When then that is just,
I just don't know who they're making videos for, because Grayson would find that cringy, and Grayson is in their age group.
Does she find it cringy?
Certainly she finds it cringy.
I'm gonna text her.
I'll call her right
now.
Yeah,
just call her really quick. Ask her if she thinks the Montana boys are cute.
I just feel like it's maybe for, like, younger high school
girls.
But
then that's disgusting. But then that's giving.
Okay, hold on.
Predator.
Grayson?
Yeah.
You're on the podcast right now. Do you know who the Montana boys are?
No.
Okay.
Wait, who are they?
So there are these guys, these, like, country boys that make, like, thirst trap videos. And
I do know.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out who their demographic is, because they're your age.
Do you think they're cute? Like, do you think it's cute?
Or do you think
the ones that are just, like, shirtless with, like, belt buckles?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
So bizarre.
So you're not attracted to it?
No. I think it has to be, like, middle schoolers.
That's what I
said. But see, that's giving someone call the police.
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing? Yeah. Or call Kristen Cavallari.
Well,
I don't
really
know.
For me to be thinking about that.
Okay, sorry. It is 9 a.m. Sorry, Grayson.
Sorry. Yeah, we're hitting some tough questions. Okay, well, we were just trying to figure out who their demographic is, and it's not you and your friends.
It's not, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So that solves that.
All right. And now it is time for industry news, where we spill the hot tea going on in the auto industry. And we have a very special guest today.
We do.
We already kind of teased you earlier, Scotty, but why don't you go ahead and say hello to the carpool?
Hi, carpool. Nice to be here.
We are so excited to have you on. We hyped you up kind of a lot.
Yeah.
We called you we used the words like trailblazer. We said you were well connected. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give the people a little bit of a background on the who, what, when, where, how, and then we'll start talking all things New York Auto Show and just kind of like what the gossip's going to be there.
Sure. So I'm not a car person. I do like driving, but that's different.
Famous word. Say same.
The whole idea of A Girl's Guide to Cars was suggested to me in 2012, and we started in 2013. And at first I said, absolutely no way. I don't want anything to do with the car industry, because the car industry is it's not friendly to women. And then I started looking at the data, and women buy, the buying power of women is just so lopsided, especially compared to the content out there for women to help women be smarter and happier car owners. So I felt like it was something that needed to be done. And I decided, you know what, I'll give it a year. And what happened next really surprised me. The industry welcomed me with open arms. Car companies were literally tripping over themselves to give me loaner cars so I could write reviews on a website that had zero traffic. They were inviting me to events. They really welcomed me in. But I had to do a lot on my own too. And you guys don't have kids in grade school yet, but I'll tell you a little secret. When you start in a new school with your kid, the first thing you should do is sign up to volunteer for everything you can. That's how you're going to make friends. That's how people will get to know you. And that's how you'll find, you know, kind of find your group. And it's also something that will make your kids feel really comfortable. And so I used that really good mom advice. Someone else had told me that. I used that really good mom advice in starting a Girls Guide to Cars to establish us as a known entity and to develop a reputation with other car reviewers, with car companies who were not tripping over themselves to give us loaners, to get myself known and to develop a reputation, because your reputation in any business is everything. And now we are, you know, among the leaders in automotive content for women, very proudly.
That is actually great advice.
That is great advice. As earlier on the show, we said no to an opportunity. We didn't want to do it.
No, but first of all, I love to hear, because I feel like I've had such a similar experience. I would say the hardest part about being a woman in auto is the men not in auto, because I actually have found that like the auto industry, whether it's like on the retail side or the manufacturer side, I felt very warm and fuzzy about the whole thing. Like you said, like welcoming another woman in auto and just wanting to, you know, have this content get out there. But it is crazy, though, that like even though we both have that experience, it's still just like for the average female consumer, still just such a scary and uncomfortable experience, I guess. So where do you feel like since 2013 when you started, where do you feel like you've seen like major improvements, and where do you feel like we're still majorly lacking?
So major improvements in women inside the industry who are what we call changing the industry from the inside. More women executives, more female leaders, more female engineers, more opportunities for women who want a career in STEM, who want to be an engineer, a designer, who want to be a race car driver. You know, 10 years ago, it was so much harder. You know, think about it. 10 years ago, Mary Barra was a senior executive, but she was not the president of the company. Mm-hmm. There were zero female presidents of auto companies. Now there's a handful. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, there were only a few female chief marketing officers or any role outside of HR. Now about a quarter of leadership at auto companies are female. So that is a huge change. And I think, you know, how you populate your workforce, it has a big impact on reputation and what people think. The retail sector has really not changed much. They have digitized a lot of the operations, but they haven't changed the culture.
Totally.
And so the digital operations is great for shopping, but the culture is where it goes off the rails. So
totally.
On the retail side, the digital game is great. Dealers have really digitized their inventory. They've digitized a lot of the process. But what happens is we do all the shopping online, and then we go to the dealership and the guy tells you to come back with your husband, and mm-hmm. it completely falls apart.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think so much of that is just kind of like you said, it's the culture. And it's hard because like the manufacturer side and the retail side, like although we're all in the same industry, like the businesses could not be run more differently. And they just have such different people who are within those organizations. So I am hopeful that retail auto is going to catch up. But yeah, it's just definitely still very, very far behind. But
and you know, there's one, and I'll just yeah. add one detail. There's one thing that's holding retail back, and that is the ability to lobby and pass laws that protect the way business is done. Mm-hmm. And until retailers either decide to break out and do things in a more modern way, follow the Sephora model, follow the Bloomingdale's model, find a Delta model, you know, Delta Airlines, find a business model that works really well and follow that and don't follow the crowd, and stop lobbying your way to success, but instead compete your way to success. That's when it will change for the customer.
And what's what's an example of the Sephora or the Delta model?
So really strong customer service, serving the customer at multiple levels, customer happiness, employee happiness, creating a career pathway for employees. So, you start, at the beginning of your career, you're greeting customers at the door, but there's a pathway that you will grow your career over time. And employee trust is a hugely important factor. If employees don't trust that every decision you make is to their benefit, they're never going to do things that are to your benefit. They're going to do things that are to their benefit. So, Sephora spends a lot of time building customer loyalty. They spend a lot of time focusing on product features rather than just trying to get you in and get you to spend a certain amount of money. They want you to come back and do fun classes. They want you to come back and sample services. They have a really good email relationship with their customers. The loyalty stuff is huge. And, that's something you don't see in automotive is loyalty. You don't see a ton of brand loyalty anymore. And you don't see loyalty programs that are designed to keep customers within that universe.
Totally.
And that's something that could be totally done at the retail level. It could be done at the corporate level. But again, because of that lobbying and because of laws, the way that manufacturers have to operate with in conjunction with retailers is restricted by law. So there's a lot of things that manufacturers can't even do because laws prevent them from doing that. And these are laws that dealers have put in place because of protecting business.
And same thing on the dealer side. There's a lot that they can't do because of, laws that manufacturers have put in place. And yeah, it's like, figure it out, you guys. Like, yeah. Start talking. Like, it's so tumultuous, I think, the relationships that some manufacturers have with their dealers and vice versa. And you can really tell, and sometimes it's based on region, sometimes it's based on brand, but you can really tell who has good synergy and who hates each other on the dealer and on the brand level. And we're 100% aligned. Like, the consumer is the one who's getting the short end of the stick. So,
right.
Well, let's pivot to the New York Auto Show, because this is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's next week.
My favorite time of the year. New York Auto Show. It's the best.
Is it your favorite auto show?
It is, because I spend so much time there and I'm very invested in it. I do a lot of things with the New York Auto Show and always have. And by the way, one of the very first organizations, and this one shocked me, because I think of New York, I lived in New York a long time, and New York can be a very cold, hard place, right? It can be tough. And one of the very first organizations that reached out to me and said, hey, will you help us to create some programming for women, was the New York Auto Show. It was one of the very first official things that I ever did in this business, was creating Girls Night Out for the New York Auto Show. And it was amazing. They actually gave us a lot of credit because they had, they were trying to get more women to come to the auto show. As we know, women buy or influence 85% of all car purchases, yet more than 50% of attendees, I think it was 70% of attendees at the show, were men. And so what they had were men who were coming to the show to see the cars, but not to buy cars. And what they really wanted was to get women to come in because they buy cars and they would actually come and shop at the show. And so we started this Girls Night Out program with them. And fast forward 5 years, and it was a 50-50 mix of men and women at the show. So we were able to really change those statistics, the attendance statistics, but also bring in more car buyers. And one of the things that I love so much is when I shop for something, I don't go to the single white tennis shoe store to buy one single white tennis shoe. I want to go to the mall and I want to try on 20 different pairs. I want to see what all my options are. I want to see what the prices differences are. I want to see what the product feature differences are. I want to look at other people trying on tennis shoes and see how they look on them. I want to, I want to see it all. I want to see what Gucci's doing, and I want to see, what Nike's doing. And you don't shop for cars like that, except at an auto show.
Right.
So we're, and you're kind of doing this Girls Night Out. Tell us about, I guess, what they can expect this year on your, or what are you calling it, like a Girls Night Out, like tour?
So this year's a little bit different. I'm leading Girls Night Out at the New York Auto Show on Saturday night, March 30th from 7 till 10 p.m. It says 9 on the ticket, but I'll stick around as long as anybody's there. And so I've set up behind the scenes sort of VIP experiences for everyone on my tour. So we're going to climb inside the Volkswagen ID Buzz and we're going to, you know, take photos, have fun, poke around and find little Easter eggs, little, you know, hidden things inside the ID Buzz. We're going to get inside the ID 7, which is brand new. It's going to be locked to everybody else at the auto show except us. We're going to get inside the new Infiniti QX80, which will be revealed in New York tomorrow night to the world. And we will be among the very first people ever to see inside this car.
So exciting.
So there are exclusives at almost every exhibit at Ford, at Toyota, at Lexus, at Volkswagen, at Nissan, at Infiniti, all of them. I've set up exclusives. We have some giveaways. So I'm still kind of working on those details, but we'll have some fun stuff to give away and personalized information and insights. So, you know, bring your questions. What do you need to know? My goal for this is for every single woman to walk away with more confidence and more familiarity and to know what she wants to look for and what she needs to look for when she decides to go buy a car. So even if you're not shopping for a car, it doesn't matter. You're going to be shopping for a car at some point. Get your confidence together now so that when you do start that process, you have muscle.
Well, it sounds like such an exciting night out. So that'll be Saturday, March 30th. So if you're in New York, you can go on the New York Auto Show's website to purchase tickets.
And
bring a friend. It sounds like a fun night out.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about auto shows. Like Scotty's right. Like they check the boxes. They're also fun. All the cars are there. But like if you go on like regular day, like it's going to be you and like thousands of people climbing in and out of these cars. And I'm not sure you're not going to get like just the vibes and the experience of like kind of having the show.
No, it goes from being like enjoyable and seeing the cool cars to being stressful. So
to being like waiting in line to check out the new Infiniti QX80. Like right. Who wants to do that?
I'll take you to the front of the line in every single car.
It's like a Disney Fast Pass.
Specialists lined up to unlock the cars for us. So they are excited about this. I've reached out to every car company that's at the show, and they're all super excited about this. And they're looking forward to welcoming us. So a true VIP experience.
That's awesome.
Okay, Scotty, so before we let you go, one of our favorite segments on the Carbo podcast is called Ditch the Drive-Thru, where we give people an easy dinner recipe to mix it up to get them out of their dinner rut. So Scotty,
you come
back from the New York Auto Show, like you have to make dinner. You're tired of eating out. Like what is your go-to just like quick, easy meal that you can whip up?
It's my favorite. I make it all the time. And I don't even really know what to call it, but it's an Italian like pasta dish.
Yum.
And here's what I love about it. It takes 2 minutes to make. You probably have all the ingredients in your kitchen. If you don't, you can get them anywhere, grocery store, Target, whatever. It's very easy. And it's my favorite for families because you come home, it's late, your kids are cranky, they're tired, they're hungry. You let them go and get themselves settled, get their homework started, get their sports clothes in the laundry, whatever, while you throw this together. And here's how you throw it together. So you take a dish that can go in the oven, set the oven to 4 1/4. Layer in this dish, like a very thick layer of spinach. You can, frozen spinach is fine or fresh, whatever you want. Throw a bunch of tomatoes in there. I like the Campari ones because they're kind of small. But if you use larger tomatoes, maybe chop them in quarters, enough tomatoes for everybody. Throw in some raw garlic cloves, like probably one per person that you're feeding. Just take the paper off, just those single buds, and take the paper off, throw them in there. Take a big dollop of, the recipe says ricotta cheese. They don't sell that where I live. So I use cottage cheese, but probably like about 1/4 cup per person. Throw it right in the middle, drizzle the whole thing with olive oil and put a lid on the dish and put it in the oven for 30 to 40 minutes. At the last 5 minutes, boil some pasta. If you want some nice crusty bread to go with it, but the whole dish, it's like all of your food in one bowl. And when the pasta's done, you take the cooked pasta, put it in the dish with the spinach and tomatoes, mix it all around. It's really creamy. Put it on a plate, serve it with some bread. You have all your major food groups in that one dish, and your kitchen smells like the best Italian restaurant in town.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's a fun one. That's so easy. I love that. Yeah, like easy just to... Because the thing about like some of those like oven meals, it's like it's so much prep. But like that's not a ton of prep.
I mean,
like,
you don't even have to chop the garlic.
No, you just throw it in there and then you're just done.
When you're done cooking, when you pull it out of the oven, you should like crush the garlic and the tomatoes and then you mix it with the pasta. But it's so good. It's so easy. It literally takes 2 minutes to make.
Scotty, that is such a good one. Well, thank you so much for joining the carpool, sharing like all about the tours and Easy Ditch the drive-through. And we hope to see, I mean, I know I'll see you there, but I hope some of the other carpoolers.
We'll see you at the auto show.
Definitely hit us up and join me for the tour at the New York Auto Show, everybody.
So fun. All right.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.